one guy I know who can get me a ticket. Can you get me on board, please?
What, you want to come to Mars?
I want to go to Mars.
Okay, well, just come on down to Texas.
Do I have to bring my banjo?
Yeah, no, no. But we do need a zither.
A what?
A zither.
Is that one of those homosexual things?
No, I don't know. It is.
I know
what
it is. I know.
It's a mouth organ.
I'm kidding. Don't say mouth organ. My God, I just sprung a bad joke, and you're saying mouth organ? He's too fast for me, folks. Too fast.
Yeah, that's right. See, you didn't wake me up tonight. I'm fully functional here.
He's fully something, folks.
I'm just waiting for the Wehrmacht firing practice. That sounds kind of cool.
I told you.
I know. So when does it start?
Whenever I get there.
Oh, okay.
There's only two of us in this division. Oh.
Not much of a division.
No, but it's the thought that counts. Now, let me remind all of you folks to buy a Harley. No, I mean, next Tuesday. Do you have a Harley Davidson yet?
Who, me?
No, the guy standing behind
you. All I can do to keep that old Mercedes running.
Well, you got to get a Harley. And you can ride. So you got trikes now. They're just awesome. Absolutely wonderful.
I will tell you my story, though. When I was a little kid, my grandmother had a rooming house down near Central Fort Worth. Right. And one of the people she rented to had the Indian Motorcycle Dealership.
Oh, nice.
Okay? And every time I'd go over to see my grandmother, there'd be one, two, maybe three new Indian motorcycles parked out front.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with them. I just couldn't wait till I was old enough and had money enough to buy me an Indian motorcycle.
Well, there's
the
really
problem
not
was, by the time I got old enough and could afford one, they didn't make them anymore.
No, they're back for about the third time now. They're back again.
I know, but they're kind of pricey still.
Yeah, well, get a Harley. There's nothing wrong with it, but basically the same machine. Come on. The engines are quite similar. And you get a trike.
Yeah. Well, I've always been in love with Harleys, too.
Get a trike. I have one.
But here's my problem with motorcycles, okay? And love them as I do. And I've ridden on plenty, and I would like. In fact, I had a little German Wehrmacht motorcycle at one point.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it wasn't actually mine. I was keeping it for a guy, but I had it for several years, and I rode it around. But here's the problem with motorcycles. There's only two places you can ride them, and that's on the streets and highways,
uh-huh.
In which case, you know, you got to have a death wish because, unfortunately, all these idiot drivers out there, they just don't notice people on motorcycles and bicycles, and so that's really hazardous. And then the only other place you can ride them is cross country, and I've gotten to where I don't like that because it cuts, you know, these trails that never grow over.
No, so you know, I don't off road. No,
off road, you're destroying the countryside.
I agree. You know, what's interesting.
It's unfortunate because I love motorcycles.
Well, you haven't been on a trike. That's the fun part. They have a wonderful trike called a freewheeler, F-R-E-E, freewheeler, like three-wheeler, but it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And they really, really are. They handle
well, actually, I've been on a trike or a three-wheeler because the Fort Worth Police Department had a few of those.
Yeah.
I rode one time. I do like them because, unlike motorcycles, two-wheelers, you don't have to worry about balance.
No, you know, steer
you
where you want to go.
You know, and you just stay there.
You don't have to counter-steer either. You steer where you want to go.
That's right.
Very simple. All right. Now, let's talk about, first of all, Brussels and Trump. Talk about a man who could see the future clearly. Not that it was that hard to do. And also a man who had the courage to say it. When he said we have to stop the Muslim immigration because of the danger to America, now everyone's saying, yeah, well, we need to. And they're kind of trying to pick up.
And as it continues, and as we have more of these, and I want to tell you, I'm pretty much of the opinion that some, if not most of these, are false flag. But regardless, still in all, they're terrible. People are getting hurt. And if you look down the road, we're only going to see more and more of this until we put the skids on just unlimited immigration, you know.
No, we have to put the skids on all immigration for the
Well,
for
here's
now.
The clincher. I mean, you go in any country you care to name, you go try to sneak into, and you're going to be in trouble. In fact, most of the countries, particularly ones that are against us, if you try to sneak into their country, you're risking long-term prison, if not execution. Okay? But hey, you know, we've just been open the floodgates to let everybody in, and in fact, I'll tell you what the whole problem is that we don't have a problem of undocumented immigrants. We have a problem of undocumented Democrats, okay? Because everybody that's flooding in wants to get on the welfare programs.
Correct.
And I'm not totally against welfare. I'd like to try to help people out, too. But, damn it, you can't, you know, right now, we have more people in this country voting for a living than working for a living. And what I mean is, I think the last statistics I saw was 52, 53, or 4% of everyone in this country is now getting their livelihood through the government. Well, now, people need to understand, the government does not have any money, okay? The government can only give to somebody what they take away from somebody else. That's why we pay taxes. Yeah. And so we have a minority of people in this country supporting the majority. And, you know, just if you'll stop and think about it, how long can that last?
Agree.
And this is what we're seeing in some of these other countries. Argentina is a good example. Just check and see what happened to them. They went on this huge socialist program, you know, where everybody's going to get benefits and the government's going to rent subsidies and food and yada yada and everything else. And now they're broke. And now, you know, it just doesn't work.
No, sir, it does not.
Sounds good on paper, but it just doesn't work. In fact, I think I may have, I don't want to repeat myself, so did I tell you the story about the political science class where they experimented with socialism?
Mm-mm.
This is great, because this is a perfect example of socialism in work. The political science class, and they all, the students and the teacher, they all got to arguing over the benefits and the drawbacks of socialism. So the teacher says, okay, tell you what. He said, from now on, we're just going to put it into practice, socialism, into practice here. He said, the next test we have, I'm not going to grade you individually. I mean, I will, but then I'm not going to give you a grade. I'm just going to average it up, and the whole class gets the one average grade. And so some of the more studious students were kind of going, well, but others are going, well, that sounds pretty good. So sure enough, the next test, the whole class got a B. Okay, because some people had really studied for it, others had not studied quite so well, and basically everybody was kind of happy. Of course, the people that really studied had hoped for an A, but a B wasn't so bad, and of course the people that hadn't studied, well, hot dog, I got a B. Well, the problem was, the next test, the average class grade dropped to a C, because a lot of the people who had been studying for the first one said, well, I'm only going to get what the class gets, so why should I study? And so, you know, boom, dropped a C. And to make a long story short, at the end of the semester, the whole class got an F, because nobody was studying anymore, because why should you? You only got what the class got. And this is socialism in action. In fact, I saw it happen here just this past Sunday at an Easter egg hunt that I went to with my granddaughter. And here were all these little girls, and they're all out, you know, going to go hunt the Easter eggs. And they announced beforehand that no matter how many eggs you got, every child was going to get 12 eggs. Okay?
Right.
So all the little kids, they blew the whistle, all the little kids took off running around, scrambling, working hard, building up a sweat, gathering up their Easter eggs, except this one little girl who just kind of sauntered around and then stood there. And at the end of the day, all the ones that had run and put in the effort, they got 12 eggs. And the little girl who just kind of stood there got 12 eggs. That's socialism in action.
Yeah.
And it never has worked, and it never will work.
Okay, here we are.
There's your lesson for today.
That was a good one. here we are in the middle of the Brussels bombing. Their first target, as I covered the first hour tonight, was a nuclear power plant in Belgium. They had to change that target when one of their people was arrested by the cops, and they figured he might start singing like a canary, so they had to change the target to the two that they did bomb. But their first target was a Belgian nuclear power plant. We could have a Fukushima meltdown situation now underway. Could be millions dead ultimately. That's how close we were. We have no security at our nuclear power plants here in America. We have a guard booth. That's it. Anybody who wanted to could load up some C4 and a rented Cessna 150 and fly it right into any nuclear power plant. And if 9/11 really were done by people who hated the great Satan of America, they wouldn't have knocked down two aging towers in New York that had already been condemned because of their asbestos and given Silverstein a double indemnity payoff of $4 billion. They would have gone for the nearest nuclear power plant.
You've been thinking again. I've warned you against that.
Sorry, I withdraw.
That's exactly right. In fact, have you ever thought about this? If I was a terrorist and I wanted to attack America, I would want to try to get as many Americans on my side that I could. So would I bomb the Pentagon or would I bomb the World Trade Centers? No. I'd bomb the IRS headquarters. Okay? Right? Yeah. Then a whole lot of people would be going, yeah, well, okay.
They would.
But no. See, that should show you right there that this whole terrorist thing.
All orchestrated. It's like the war on drugs. It's
all a
lie.
Big, huge game.
A lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely a lie. Just like...
And we just keep falling with it, falling for it. And just about the time that a lot of people are beginning to kind of figure out, wait a minute, I think there's something going on, they hit us with another one and freak us out, and then we all get fearful, and then we fall for it all over again for a few years until calmer people begin to wait a minute, what about this and this and this, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. But the main thing is that we just cannot let any and everybody in this country without some sort of vetting process. And I know, I was at lunch, dinner not long back, and this lady said, well, I know these Muslims that did live in my neighborhood, and they're great folks. And as I told her, I said, I'm sure they are. And I have no problem with, you know, Muslims or Semites or people from the Middle East or people from anywhere if they want to come and apply for American citizenship.
If they want to join in and
learn how to assimilate, become part of our culture, good for them, okay? Yeah. I said, but you got to understand, when Hitler joined the Nazi party, it was nine people, and then look what happened with that. So just because you say, well, it's only a minority of these people that are causing a problem, yeah, that's very true, but look how much problem the Nazis caused, okay? So we just cannot go along indiscriminately letting anybody and everybody in. We've got to have a vetting process. And there is, I live here in Texas, and any of you that listen to this, there is no southern border. There's nothing. Not long back, I was down in Del Rio, and I went down by the border, and here's this huge fence. It was about 12 foot high, and it did not have any cross pieces, so you couldn't climb it very easily. And I thought, well, boy, there's a really good, solid, impenetrable fence. Except when I turned the corner, it stopped. It just stopped. And there was really kind of nothing there. And so I thought, well, now wait a minute. If I'm in Mexico and I want to sneak into the United States, I just go to the end of the fence and walk around it. And that's basically kind of a good illustration of what we got on the border. There are a few places where it looks like we have some definite security, and then there's miles and miles of nothing. And if you will look at it, here recently there's been a collection of southern sheriffs and former Border Patrol officials who have been complaining and said that the Obama administration has actually scuttled seriously the security on the southern border. Whoa, what's that all about?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought we were supposed to be in a war on terrorism. Well, folks, if we're supposed to be so concerned about these foreign terrorists that we have to get groped at the airport and we have to have all these added bureaucracies and all of this national security measures and all this police state, then how come they're not guarding the borders, you know, to prevent somebody from sneaking in terrorist weapons into this country? Doesn't that prove to you that it's all phony?
Totally phony. I had a story yesterday, a former top official, I believe in the Clinton administration, admitted that the war on drugs was a complete failure and never was designed to stop the flow of drugs.
That was John Ehrlichman. Nixon's advisor.
He was one. Somebody else, was it Ehrlichman?
And they were interviewing him. And he said, when Nixon declared war on marijuana, he said that was basically an attack on the leftist anti-war people and
the blacks.
Yep. Okay,
and so
the interviewer said, "You mean they knew it was phony?" And Ehrlichman says, "Yes." You know, come on, folks, wake up and smell the coffee. We're being had.
Wake up and sniff the cocaine.
That's right.
Do something. God. Yes, it really should be ended. Drugs should be legalized like pot. My God, look at the billions of dollars Colorado's taking in. Billions.
Jeff, I've done my homework. I've gone back and looked at why we have these anti-marijuana laws anyway, and here's one of the basic reasons. Of course, I could get into Harry Anslinger and all the prohibition agents that are about to lose their job, and I could also get into the DuPonts wanting to shut down pot because hemp would have been a huge competitor to their synthetic fibers like nylon, Dacron. But the bottom line is this. When prohibition was underway, only the really wealthy people could afford good hooch, okay? They got, because it had to be smuggled in,
right.
Had to be coming across the border from Canada. A lot of people, including Joseph P. Kennedy, you know, got rich smuggling alcohol during prohibition. And as prohibition began to come to a close, they were trying to figure out how to stop the minorities. Okay? Now, during Prohibition, only the wealthy people could afford true hooch. All the poor people, they either had to make bathtub gin, which could make you go blind, or they turned to smoking marijuana because that was just a plant. And it was cheap. You could get that. And so, as Prohibition ended, and they were trying to figure out how to keep the black minority down, they figured that we'd pass these pot laws. And it was aimed primarily at blacks and at the Hispanics, because they were generally the poorer people, and that's what they could afford. So it was a racist thing to begin with for the anti-marijuana laws.
It sure was.
Colorado's, people don't get it. They just listen
look,
to the...
We have all of these financial terrible hardships, and if all the states simply legalized recreational marijuana, taxed it, did the same thing Denver is, look at the relief they'd get. Tremendous help. And then
Absolutely. They
can certainly legalize some of the other drugs as well. It's not just
absolutely.
That. I mean,
while we're on it, let me pass this along. This is really, really interesting to me. Speaking of prohibition, you know, in 1933, they not only rescinded the Volstead Act, which was the national law, the federal law against alcohol, but they also did away with the amendment, an amendment to the Constitution that prohibited alcohol. Now, did the federal government do away with this and end prohibition just out of the goodness of their heart? Because somewhere they decided, oh, well, this is not right. We'll just change this. No, folks, no. They changed this constitutional amendment and they changed the law because the states had failed to go along. The states, more and more of them, were saying, alcohol prohibition is too expensive. We can't afford to hire all these cops. We can't afford to fight all the corruption that's taking place. We can't afford to do this. So one state after another was just basically forgetting to enforce the federal law. And after a number of states, finally, you know, we're dropped out. Said, this, we're not going to do this. Well, then the federal government was forced to rescind a constitutional amendment and the Volstead Act. Now, folks, think about that. Can't we do the same thing today? Can't we just say on the local level and hide behind the 10th Amendment, which says anything that's not specifically given to the federal government under the Constitution belongs to the people in the states? Can't we just say, no, we're not going to do that? And when the federal government says we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and, oh, like right now they're trying to outlaw vitamins. Oh, you know, in fact, right now a couple of pharmaceutical corporations have decided that they're actually going to study marijuana to see if there's medical benefits. And the FDA is already saying, well, since this is possibly a drug, it comes under our purview, and we're going to have to make it illegal for anybody to have any kind of cannabis oil or cannabis or hemp or all kinds of things. So they're looking for all kinds of ways to interfere with our lives. Why, isn't it about time we all just said, no, we're not going to do that, you know? That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
They ended prohibition. We can end prohibition. In fact, it's already happening. Look at all the states that now have legalized marijuana. And a few more come along, and then the next year a few more. And then pretty soon the feds are just going to have to give up and say, well, okay.
They will. They'll be told to give up. The money will be paid.
Well, they already have.
You know, here's another
budget.
One.
The budget that was passed for this year specifically prohibits the feds from enforcing marijuana laws in states where they've already legalized. Okay. So, yeah. It's already
remember,
working.
Here's another one that should be legalized. Ecstasy. Hailed by psychiatrists, professionals, some of the best, as the best tool they've ever had. It's not necessarily something that people can't take recreationally and learn about themselves. I've taken it. Years ago I took it. And it's a remarkable thing. Doesn't disable you. It's not nearly as debilitating as LSD or any of that. It's called a truth... they call it a truth drug. You're real honest. All the artifice, all the BS goes away.
Hold it right there. You know, you see right now why they don't want to legalize that.
Well, it's like reverse speech.
What kind of country would we have if everybody went around being honest?
Well, it's just like reverse speech. God. It's why you don't hear about reverse speech, because it does expose the truth of what people are really saying.
Exactly.
All right, and we're going to talk when we come back about next Tuesday's program with David John Oates on the JFK assassination. He is on top of it and is sitting on top of some of the most amazing speech reversals ever. And Jim Mars will be here to find out, along with Dick Allgaier, the remote viewer, how these reversals stack up with their research. And Jim has been researching the JFK murder for 52 years. That's next Tuesday, a special three-hour program right here, an historic program. Don't miss it. We're going to tell you who, how, where, what, and why through the ears of reverse speech researchers. The voices of Dwight Eisenhower, J. Edgar Hoover, Bush 41, Lee Harvey Oswald, and others reversed, telling the truth about how they feel about the circumstances they were in. Next
Well, of course,
Tuesday.
You don't even have to reverse speech Oswald. No. We have him on film and video and sound recording saying, I didn't shoot anyone, I'm just a patsy.
That's what he says in reverse.
Voice stress analysis years ago showed that he is telling the truth.
Yep. Well, wait till you hear reverse speech next week, folks. All right, back in a minute with James. Okay, and we're back with Gentleman Jim and the great state of West Texas. All right. And Texas going to split into four parts, north, south, east, and west. They're trying to split California. Should have done that a long time ago. They got the Carolinas split. Come on, California is more obvious.
Well, this is something that's actually on the law books. Unlike most of the states that were annexed, just territories annexed by the United States, Texas was a standalone republic, and it voluntarily joined the United States, and there was a treaty, and there was a legal document drawn up, and in that legal document, it gives not only the right to secede, but at some point, if we decide to, Texas could legally break into four, be divided into four sections, in other words, four separate states, with each state having its representatives and its senator. We could dominate the country, as if we don't already.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. All right, so where are we in this ball game now? We have the mainstream media, which really has forever, ever exposed itself as anything but a servant of the truth and a servant of the people. They are no longer journalists. They are ambush phonies who have an agenda, and they'll do what they're told. Many of them don't even have to do what they're told. They're just hand-picked because of their biases. So the mainstream... Is that America the Beautiful in drag?
Just saluting the flag.
Yes, I know. I heard you. I think we need a new anthem. America the Beautiful. I like that one.
You know, there are people who argue against the Star Spangled Banner because we've
too
talked about,
sing.
You know, the rockets' red glare and the bombs bursting in there, you know. But let's face it, folks, we're still bombing and bursting, you know, all over the planet. So
we're only getting to be more proficient at it all the time. Doesn't matter who's in office. Bush 43, Obama 1 through 10, it doesn't matter.
That's why I really, really wonder if somebody from the outside, like Trump, would actually change anything. Or would they just bump him off and keep going?
He would try... But if he got into a position where, like JFK, he really started to threaten them.
Where he really could do something.
That's right. Then they'd take him out. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the time that when Kennedy was killed, and I know because I lived through all that, there were a lot of people that were not satisfied, including me, with the lone nut assassin theory, but we really didn't have anything to put in its place. And I know for me, it didn't come together until the fall of 72, when one of the Watergate burglars finally fessed up and said, okay, we were actually working for the committee to reelect the president. Creep, if you will, which I've always found wonderfully appropriate.
And that's perfect, creep.
And at that point, I realized that the president of the United States could and would lie to us.
Yep.
And after that, things begin to come together. Unfortunately, it's still a lot of people today who haven't quite had that epiphany. They still think that if something happens in Washington, it must be for our benefit.
Well, if they have
actually the exact opposite is true.
Most people think if they have an epiphany, they need a prescription drug or perhaps a trip to the ER or something. I'm having an epiphany. Oh, my God. Call a doctor. Call 911.
As Ronald Reagan, who was not exactly a political insider, as he once said, you know, the government is not the solution. The government is the problem.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think at this point are Trump's chances?
Well,
let's just talk about the delegates. He's probably going to win California unless it's vote fraud. He'll win New York unless it's vote fraud. There's about 300 delegates. That'll push him up to 1,000.
Yeah, but you've got to have, I forget now, what, 2,000
something? 1, 2, 3, 7. But that doesn't count all the other states that are still alive. There's 20 states left, something like that.
Right. Well, it just depends on how many people decide that they're fed up and they're not going to take anymore.
Well, it depends on how much software has been corrupted, too.
Well, that's the whole thing. You can't count on it. When they have control over the media and have control over the voting machines, you're really fighting an uphill battle.
I agree.
Now, what we could do about that is pass one more law that says all elections have to be paper ballots so that we can go back and count and find out for sure, you know, how it works. As long as everything is in a computer, I mean, we all know about computers. It's garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
A computer is no smarter than the information that's fed into it. And if you're a competent hacker, you can even go into the information that's in there and change it all around. And believe me, they got the money to hire the competent hacker.
Oh, they had to. Remember the hacker who went, programmer, and testified in Florida in front of a state legislative committee that he was told to change the logarithms or algorithms or whatever they were. Change
right.
The software, and he did.
Yep.
Too easy to do. Wait a minute, they're starting to do, I know they did this in Utah, they're starting to use the internet to count ballots, count votes. As soon as that happens, it even gets easier. We all know how they play with the, site ratings. Alexa.com and others, BS. They play with the numbers all the time. Everybody in the ad agencies in the business of internet sales know all about these things. You just talk to them, they'll tell you. It's all fraud. It's all contrived. It's who you know, what you know, and if you're politically correct, you're fine. If you're not, you're not. But it doesn't matter. Those numbers mean nothing. We run our numbers off our own server. We find it. We know what's going on. So, anyway. All right. Now.
No, that's obviously what they're going to try to get to, which is that since we now have two-way control, you know, we can order movies off our TV and we can, do all this stuff. It's two-way now.
We can order life off of our TV. Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll eventually say, okay, well, we're all going to vote, and it's going to sound great because that way every little household gets to vote.
Oh, they'll say no one can steal your vote. It'll come straight from your house right to our house, and we'll guard it and we'll protect it. Don't you worry.
Yeah but it ain't going to work that way.
No, my God, no. But you watch, and the internet voting is the first time I've heard about it used on any substantial platform, and it will become the way in the future. Won't, if there is a future, they'll use it all the time, and it's too easy. You can't follow your vote. There's no recount. It's over. Even when there was a vote to follow and recount, the Collier brothers found out that you're out of luck. Their book Vote Scam ought to be read by everybody.
Oh yeah. Have you heard anything about this video technology where they can...
Real time.
Superimpose you real time on somebody else. Have you say anything? I knew they had the audio capability of doing that because I wrote about that. That's, by the way, people need to understand that because during the controversy over the false flag that was 9/11, people go, but what about those cell phone calls? Folks... A year before, they had voice morph technology, which is if they can get a snippet of your voice, they can then through digitally have you in your voice say anything. They demonstrated this to Colin Powell, and they ran a thing of his voice saying, we're gathered here to overthrow the government of the United States, and it threw him for a loop because that had never happened, but that was his voice. So now they can do that with your face or anybody's face. So, hey,
even your face.
we're into Never Never Land now. Don't believe anything you see or hear.
No. As soon as we hit the digital age, all bets are off.
That's right.
Sad, isn't it?
It kind of is, because all my life, it was if you had a photograph of something, you could take it to the bank. But no more, not with digital technology.
You don't want to really go. There are two places you don't want to go if you don't have to. That's the hospital and the bank.
Well, I understand the hospital. I guess hopefully the bank is a little safer. At least you don't pick up diseases at the bank.
Yeah, you do. You get
unless you want to call indebtedness a disease.
No. Yes, usury is a disease.
Well, it is. It used to be a sin. In fact, it used to be against the law. Here in Texas, when I was a young man in the 50s, early 60s, it was in the state constitution that you could not, if anybody tried to charge you over 6% interest, that was usury. That was a criminal offense.
Wow.
And then they just kept, the banks keep saying, oh, wow, we got to raise some more. We got to get it up a little more. We're not making enough money, and we're too big to fail. And so the legislature and their infinite greed and ambition, they kept passing these laws, increasing the interest rates. And it went up from 6 to 7 to 8 and then 10 and 12 and then went up to 15, 16. And I think finally they just said, well, this is silly. And if I'm not mistaken, they finally just did away with that section of the Constitution. So there you go, folks.
Yeah, wild. Wild.
And before it was considered a criminal act to charge exorbitant interest rates, it was considered sinful. Both the Christians and, interestingly enough, the Muslims thought that loaning money at any interest was usury, and that was a sinful conduct.
Well, I'm not going to argue that. I think Muammar Gaddafi found out that it was the right way to go, but he found out the hard way.
Well, yeah, see, Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein, when they quit borrowing money from the international bankers, then that's when they got overthrown. That's when it was time, they became the new Hitlers. And while we're speaking at it, that was Hitler's big mistake, too, is that he issued Reichmarks.
Exactly, thank you.
And did not borrow money from the international bankers, so they banded everybody together and they knocked him off.
Well, yeah, they forced him to move to Argentina.
Right.
Do you know I found something out? They're very credible sources. Now, think about this. Hitler and Eva Braun were taken to the southern portion, a beautiful area in Argentina called, I think, San Carlos de Bariloche.
And guess who's visiting in Bariloche?
Yeah.
President Obama.
Barry Satoro went there. Bill Clinton went there. And guess who went there in 1954?
Eisenhower.
Yes, sir. Now, what was he doing down there in 1954?
Well, they all had to pay their respects at the graveside, I guess.
Well, he was still alive until 62. And the question is, did he meet with Hitler? I doubt it. I think he went down there just to look at the German towns, the little the Bavarian villages, the little cities that were there. There were tens of thousands of Germans there. He hated Germans.
And that's the whole deal. That's why I can't bring myself to think that Hitler would go down there
Hitler wouldn't
and play palsy with them, you know?
No, no. And here's the deal.
I think his trip to Bariloche was probably the same type trip that JFK took to Area 51. They had heard the rumors.
Yeah,
they knew the scuttlebutt. They went to find out if it's true, and they were probably given a dog and pony show. Nothing here to see, Mr. President.
Well, now remember, Hitler and Eva Braun were taken there in 1945. Now, 9 years later, Eisenhower allegedly visits there. About 9 years after he moved there, 10 years at the most, it is said that he moved suddenly to the northern part of Argentina, 500 kilometers away to Cordoba, where he died in 1962. So it may be that
maybe
that was too much.
Maybe he moved because of the Eisenhower visit.
That's right. Now, in 1947, there's a memo to J. Edgar Hoover, or from J. Edgar Hoover, to all FBI agents that you are hereby instructed to stop any further searching for Adolf Hitler in Argentina. He was told, and he ordered everybody off. See, that was the big trade. Tens of thousands of Germans got to go to South America and live, and the exchange was for paperclip scientists. They gave us a space program. They took us.
They gave us the atomic bomb.
Yes, they gave us everything. And that second bomb, by the way, may well have been made from enriched uranium from the Third Reich.
Exactly. In fact, Oppenheimer, I have a quote from him somewhere saying
enough.
It said that the one of those bombs was of German provenance, okay, which means they
Oppenheimer said that?
Yeah.
German provenance. Well, that's mm-hmm. that pretty well cinches it.
Yeah.
How interesting. I hadn't heard that.
Let me see if I can find that. It's in my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich.
Yeah. I just found out about this 1954 trip. It's rumored and it's alleged, and there's a photograph of him down there, apparently. And he may have gone. So he supposedly also in 1954 had at least one meeting in 54 and another in 56 with ETs. One was at Edwards Air Force Base in 54 and supposedly another one in 56. If I have my years right, I got the first one right, I think. But we don't. Jim puts all this in his books. And if you don't have any Jim Morris books.
Here's the sentence right here. The idea is supported by the statement of German authors Edgar Meyer and Thomas Miner, excuse me, that J. Robert Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb, maintained that the bomb dropped on Japan was of German provenance.
Wow. Well, there you go.
There you go. And this is true because we did not have enough enriched uranium in the spring of 1945, but
to
make one bomb, okay? And they set that off at the Trinity site in Alamogordo.
Yeah, to test it, right.
So then, within a month or two, we dropped two bombs on Japan. Where'd they get those? They got them from the Germans in exchange for immunity. Not only for the thousands of paperclip scientists that we let come into this country, which set us on the road to the national security state, but also for Hitler and Eva and some of the top Nazis that went down to South America. And we knew it, and we didn't do anything about it, because that was part of the deal. And by the way, you do realize who was in charge of South America as far as the United States went during the war?
During the war.
During the Nelson Rockefeller.
Ah, yes. Okay.
So see, it was all done at the globalist levels.
They've had their hands around our necks for 100 years.
Sure. These are the very people that created Hitler in the first place. And then when he didn't play ball with them, looked like he was getting ready to take over the whole world, they couldn't stand that because they didn't want Germany in charge of the world economy. They wanted themselves in charge of it, so that's when we had World War II.
All true. Time magazine, Man of the Year, on the cover 3 times. The Miracle of Germany, they used to talk about that until it became non-PC. And then
that's right.
It really wasn't
a miracle. It was simply the fact that he quit borrowing money and running the Germans into debt. And he produced their own money based on goods and services. If we do the same thing, if we get rid of the Fed, we could have a happy, prosperous country. Because think of it, folks. We've still got lots of minerals, lots of resources in this country, and we have a workforce that's ready, willing, and to work. Why shouldn't we be in great financial state? But we're not, because they have run us into the ground, and we have allowed it.
Amen, brother, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, I should be a TV evangelist. I could pretty much say the same things I'm saying, but I could make money.
You could, or you could, if you could sing, or you can sing. We've heard you sing. Damn, you're good. Here is I happen to come up with an old reel-to-reel tape of one of Jim's early. He was a lead singer in a little group that's called the Good Old Boys, but they weren't that old back then.
We were the good old young boys.
That's right. Here's Jim's, one of his first recordings. A little simple trio.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you.
Man, could you
and to make the darkness bright. Only you and you alone can thrill me like you do, and to fill my heart with love for only you.
Well, there's only one Jim Morris. I'm telling you, you could have been a contender.
That's right. But here I am.
Well, you are a contender. I mean, you're on the... you think about it. Hey, that's good. What is that?
This is one of my early renditions.
Oh, that's you guys, too. That's good.
Yeah, those good old days.
I like
that. Ride the range.
Don't forget now, next Tuesday night, truly an historic program coming your way on the 29th with David Oates, Dick Allgaier, and the great Jim Mars. So please be sure, Jim, and tell Jim that he's on next Tuesday.
I will. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's taken us 52 years, but we just almost got the Kennedy assassination.
Well, wait a minute. I think next Tuesday is going to be the final chapter and the exposition of what you've uncovered, what Dick Allgaier found in his remote viewing, which jibed with what you found in half a century.
That's the incredible thing about it. You've got reverse speech. I knew nothing about what Oates was doing. You've got the remote viewing. I knew nothing about what they were doing. They knew nothing about the 50-something years I put into researching that whole thing, and yet we've all come up pretty much with the same story.
Well, I think it's going to make your hair stand up on end, folks, next Tuesday, so don't miss that. All right, we got to go, James. Thank you, sir. Salute. Have a good time. Take care. Don't eat too much tapioca pudding unless you really have to. If you run out of tapioca, there's always rice pudding, a little cinnamon, some raisins, and walnuts, and you got yourself a four-course dinner.
Okay. I got to hurry off to Vermont firing practice. Bye.
See ya. All right. There we go. Now, thank you for being here, number one. Number two. We'll be back tomorrow on Friday. The inimitable John Barber will be here from Las Vegas, so we'll have some fun with that. John will want to hear from you folks too, so we'll do that. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Take care.